Thank you, Robin. It says grace that will pardon, not might. Will pardon. Because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's the story right here, isn't it? The story we're reading right now. This story. The story of Jacob, his sons, and Joseph, Lord in Egypt. One of the greatest in all of Scripture because it's one of the greatest pictures of salvation by the sovereign mercy and pardoning grace that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not a more touching story in the Scripture. I don't know if you've gone ahead and read through it. I couldn't resist. And I was reading today when Joseph could not refrain himself anymore. Oh my. And I couldn't refrain myself. Heartbreaking, but heart rejoicing. It is full of tears. It's full of laughter. It's full of great fear and distress. Great joy and deliverance. It's a story of sin. Story of hatred, malice, wickedness, betrayal, denial, guilt, shame. It's a story of love, mercy, grace, pardon, forgiveness, great salvation, and redemption. This is the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. Story of Jacob and his 12 sons. He had one son, legitimate son, firstborn, Joseph. You go ahead and read the story. Joseph, Jacob says that. He said, I have one son. He treats Joseph like he's the only boy, the true son he had. What a picture that is. He's the firstborn of his legitimate wife, Rachel. And then Benjamin was his near kin. Benjamin's a type of the church. Not here, but he is a type. But Joseph is a picture of Christ, the firstborn, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of the Most High God. And he's the firstborn of many brethren who were all born in sin, like Joseph's brethren. Hated him, rejected him, despised him. But he didn't despise them. Oh, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. What a story this is. What a story. Oh, boy. All right, this is the gospel for the praise and of the glory of God's grace. Look at verse 21 in our text. It says, they said one to another, after Joseph had them put in prison, and the Spirit of God began to work on them, began to make them feel guilty. They make them feel their unbelief against their brother. And they all said, every one of them said, we are verily, truly guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. We're in prison. We're in bondage. All this trouble and distress is upon us because we heard about our brother, his anguish, and we didn't care. Now, isn't that us? Every one of us. There was a time when everyone in this room, before the Lord revealed Christ to you, what great things the Lord had done for you, you'd heard this story. You heard Christ and him crucified. It didn't mean a thing to you. You didn't bother to come hear it, did you? You didn't care. It meant nothing to you. His Word, you may have had a Bible. You didn't hear it. You didn't read it, did you? But God. But God. And here's what our Lord said that the Holy Spirit does to everyone that belonged to the Lord. He says, when He's come, He'll reprove of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's what these brethren all understood. We're guilty of sin because they believed not on me, Christ said. Everything, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and they didn't believe me. A sin because they believed not on me. This is what God's going to hold this whole world guilty for. They said, let His blood be on us and our children. Okay, it is. And His blood doth God require. Either at your hands, or it is on you. for the redemption of your soul. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, our Lord said. And they're going to see, they're going to know, they're going to find out that the one that they rejected is Lord over all. I read that today when he first said, I'm Joseph. You know how they must have felt. I'm the one you sold. But he said it in such... Well, that's another story. But this is what the Lord brings every child of God, everyone that he purposed to save, he brings them to this point where they're guilty. They all say, we're guilty concerning Christ and Him crucified. We're guilty. We didn't believe God concerning His Son. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. We didn't. So, this distress is to come upon us. In verse 23, it says, Joseph knew, they knew not that Joseph understood them. He's listening to them. His ear is open to their cries. He's hearing every word that his sorry brothers are saying. You know what he's doing? He's touched. Deeply touched. And moved by one act of repentance. Our Lord even said this one time. He said, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. That, you know, repenting is not doing anything great, is it? Just acknowledging that you're guilty? Is that... And yet the Lord says, heaven erupts. And the Lord God of glory smiles. His ears are open under the cry of every sorry sinner. Every guilty sinner. Every one. Every time. Did these fellows quit being sinners? Oh, far from it. Oh, Joseph. Our Lord is so compassionate. Verse 24, he turned, Joseph turned about from them. He turned and wept. Returned to them again. Communed with them. Spoke with them. I don't think he was speaking roughly this time. He says he communed with them. You don't speak roughly when you're communing with someone. Yeah, they're guilty. They're feeling it. He's saying, fellas, through an interpreter, it'd be okay if you just do what the Lord said. Just do what the Lord said. I bet you this interpreter would say, he's very merciful. He's very gracious. And he won't lie to you. You just do what he said. You go home, and you get that brother, and you bring him back. And if he said that when he sees that brother, he's going to let you go, he'll let you go. He'll do what he said. He's a man of his word. Commune with them. I love this. I thought of our Lord in the garden here when it says he turned and wept and returned to them again. Let me just read it. Mark 14, if you want to turn there. Mark 14, but this is such a picture of this. When our Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane, verses 33, Mark 14, 33, says, he took with him Peter, James, and John, began to be sore amazed, be very heavy. He's crying. He said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And our Lord, down in verse 40, says he returned again. He kept coming back to them. Found them asleep again. Their eyes were heavy. And another place said they were so sorrowful. And he had such compassion on them. They couldn't even watch with him in his most sorrowful hour. But he knows our frame. You know that? The Lord knows our frame. He's our brother. He's our brother, man. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. They're sorry, brothers, aren't they? But he's merciful. He's gracious. He's loving. And Joseph knew their frame. He knew what they were. So, because he's a man, too. And our Lord, Scripture says, is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows, you know, he couldn't He couldn't fall to sin. He knows we will. He knows. He knows us. He saw Adam. Adam and Eve were perfect. And they fell. Where does that leave us? He knows that. He knows that. And you know, I thought about this. We ought to be more like that, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we love as brethren? Yes, we should. That's the one thing that our Lord gave commandment. He said, "Now this is it. I'm not telling you to keep the law. I'm just telling you, you love your brethren like I love you." That's the least you could do, isn't it? The least you could do. We ought to, because we ought to know their frame. We ought to know that they're just like us. Just like us. We ought to have compassion on them. The Lord demands it. Verse 24, it says, He took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. He took Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Now, Christ is everything in this picture. He's all, and He's in all this. He's everything. But this is certainly a picture of our Lord being bound that we might go free. But Benjamin's a better picture of that later on. But nevertheless, our Lord was bound that we might go free. And I thought about this. This is a picture of how that we have brethren right in our midst, right before our eyes, that are still bound. No one. Still bound. And our heart's prayer and our burden for them is, Lord, loose them. You know, there's one way they're going to be loose. When they see the sign. When the Lord of the place sees the sign and tells them to go free. We have brethren bound by sin and unbelief. We have brethren bound by fear. We have weak brethren bound by fear and constant distress. You know how they're going to get rid of that fear and distress? When they see the sign. I'm telling you, this is the sign. I'm not telling you anything different than Manoah and Saul and Gideon saw. This is it. One sign for sinners. We've got brethren bound by legal bondage. Brethren that still think, well, I've got to do something, surely. Nope. Nope. This is free. It's just when they just bring the sign. Bring the sign. Oh my, our Lord and our brother, our Savior. Oh my, when He's revealed to us, we all go free. Verse 25. So Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn. I hope you're with me, because this it really gets good now. Well, how could it have got any better than what I just said? But anyway, verse 25. When Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, as we've said before, these fellows don't deserve a crumb. No. But Joseph's merciful. One time, Brother Scott Richardson, you ever hear this story? He was had a friend who was up before a judge, a mean judge, being tried, and the judge threw the book at him. And Brother Scott went up after it was over and said, "Judge," said, "is there no mercy? Can there be no mercy for this man?" Pleading for mercy. And the judge said, "He doesn't deserve mercy." And old Brother Scott said, "Well, isn't that what mercy is? You don't deserve it?" That's right. These fellas didn't deserve this. But God is merciful. Full of mercy. He's so merciful, He delights to show mercy. He takes pleasure in them that hope in His mercy. He takes great pleasure in those that say, "I'm guilty. Would you show mercy?" Be delighted to. Isn't that? That's amazing. Somebody write a song, "Amazing Mercy." Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn. Not just a little bit. Not just give them a little. Like that woman, you know, the woman that came and said, "Just want a few crumbs." Has the Lord ever given anybody crumbs that asked Him? sacking down. Fill their sacks and restore every man's money into his sack and give them provision for the way. And it says, thus did he unto them. He did it all. He did it all. Fill their sacks. I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I've known you a long time now. Our cups run over. The Lord has given to us in such a way, pressed down, shaken together, running over with mercy. That's true, isn't it? Where sin abounded, though, great, you can't out-sin God's grace and mercy. It's an exhaustless supply of mercy. We think that all the time, don't we? Like these brethren, we're going to see that. These brethren are just thinking it's all too good to be true. Fill their sacks. Restore every man's money. This corn's not going to cost my brethren a dime. From the worst, remember Judah? From the worst to the best, if you want to call Reuben that, the best. From the worst to the best, it's not going to cost any of them a dime. Salvation by grace, people. 100% by grace. He said, come, buy wine. That's the blood of Christ. And milk. The milk of His Word. Without money and without price. Don't spend money for that which is not bread. You come and just hearken and hear, your soul shall live. And eat that which is filling. It will fill you with peace and joy. Don't try to find it anywhere else. You can't find it. And He said, provide for them all they need. Joseph gave commandment. He gave his men commandment to fill up their sacks, put their money in their sack, provide for them by the way. It says he did this. Whatever was done to them, Joseph was the doer of it. He did it, you say. He did it. Salvation's of the Lord. And I thought about this. Do you reckon that as they were leaving, that they were heading out? Now, this is a time of famine. People without. Hard to come by. Been 2 years now. Lots of danger out there, isn't it? Robbers. Thieves. They've got sacks full of grain. Sacks full of money. I kind of think Joseph said, put some fellas in the hills with bows and arrows. Ain't nobody going to touch them. Make sure they make it all the way on. You reckon? Oh, he's not going to provide for them and say, I hope you make it. No, sir. Neither does our Lord. And look at what they said. Now, after all of this, they opened their sack when they left. They laid their asses with corn, departed thence. Verse 27, and one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn. They're staying in a nice inn, Stan. They're not in a tent. They got so much money, they can stay in an inn. Sacks full of... One of them opened his sack to feed this precious corn to a mule. I don't know about you, but my dog lives high on the hog. I do know about you, Bonnie. Our dogs eat better than some third world countries, don't they? Oh, do our sacks run over or what? What have we got to complain about? Why would we complain ever? We're sorry, aren't we? Oh, the Lord's so gracious. One of them opened his sack and spied the money in his sack's mouth. He said to his brother, my money's restored to my sack. And their hearts failed. They're afraid. They're fearful. Said one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? What's He doing to us? This is the title of this message. What is God doing to us? I'll tell you. He's saving you. He's being merciful to you. He spared their lives. Joseph did. He showed mercy. They had found grace in His sight, and they couldn't recognize it. They couldn't recognize it. Our Lord has spared our lives how many years? I could tell you, you've heard a little bit, but you sure hadn't heard half of it. What all the Lord has brought me through, how He's spared my life miraculously. You hadn't heard any of it. Hardly. Well, I know something. But I don't even know the half of it. You know? We don't even know what the Lord has spared us from. We don't even know what close calls with death we had that the Lord someday may show us. Look at this. I was hedging you about. You, the angels, if He'd open up the hills, we'd see chariots of fire. Angels keeping watch over. Yes, that's so. That's not a fairy tale. The Lord can't lie. And, you know, He's shown mercy. We sin, He shows mercy. We sin, He shows mercy. We sin, He shows mercy. We go away, we come back, He receives us. We go away, we come back, He receives us. Huh? How much? What? When are we going to believe Him? When are we going to believe that He's merciful? When are we going to believe? What's God doing to me? He's saving your soul. He's being merciful unto you. You found grace in His sight. Why? For Christ's sake. These brethren didn't know Joseph yet, but they know they're guilty. The Lord is so good to me. And even when I was under conviction, you know, I did not feel like Christ died for me. I didn't feel like I really knew Him, but, well, He knew me. He knew me. How often we look at all our provisions and think, why has God done this to me? Why is God so good to me? Anybody? Why has God been so good to me? And He hasn't been better or more good to anybody than me. Why is God so good to me? Why me? I don't deserve all this. I feel so guilty. Well, surely He's going to take it all away. Surely. Now He's fattening me up for the slaughter. Have you ever thought that? I ought to have more troubles than I have. Oh, you don't have to wish for that. It's coming. And God's so good, He doesn't bring it all at one time. You ever thought that? You know, the Lord is going to take it all away. But when He does, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. You'll be ready. Lord gave. You'll say, the Lord gave. The Lord taketh away. Don't we see, do we not see that all this is not to damn us? To save us. It's to show us that He loves us. That He delights to show mercy. He's not going to let us be in want. He promised us that, didn't He? David said, I've been old. I've been young. I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Who are the righteous? What's it mean to be righteous? Huh? Can you make yourself righteous? What does it mean to be righteous? Give me one word that describes being righteous. Christ. He's made unto us righteous. You believe that? He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen one person ever trust the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation. And God in the end say, no, you can't come in here. Not one. And David said, you don't understand. You're looking at the worst man on earth, they've said. You don't understand. Paul said that. He said, I'm a pattern. Paul said, I was injurious. I was a blasphemer. I was a murderer. He said, this is a faithful saying. He said, I'm a chief. That's who Christ came to save. Why can't we believe Him? Huh? Why can't we believe Him? Oh, and even when the sacks start emptying. And there have been times like that for all of us, haven't there? And may be times in the future when the sacks start emptying. And we might not have a nice end to lie in. Might have to be in a tent. But you shall not want. You remember when you were first married, don't you? You didn't have near what you have now, did you? Huh? Maybe not living a little 500 square foot apartment. Happy as hogs in mud. Didn't have anything. Old broke down furniture. We had food, right? I bet yours was much poorer than that. See, my parents. But even when the sacks start emptying, you shall not want. He's given commandment. The Lord, who is our shepherd, has given commandment. You shall not want. The sack might not be full, but if you'll reach down in the bottom, I guarantee, the Lord guarantees it, you'll get a handful for the day. You'll get just enough for that day, won't you? How many years? How many years? Some of you more years than me, like Margaret. 60 years. That the Lord has been merciful to you and provided for you. Provide the sack is, the barrel has never wasted. The meal's never run out. The oil has never run dry. Ever. You thought it was going to, but you reached out. There it is. Don't have enough money for your house payment. Huh, where'd that check come from? Huh? How many times? What's God doing to us? He's going to kill me. What's wrong with us? Has He been so long time with us? And we don't know Him? See, this is all to the praise of the glory of His grace. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, He wouldn't have received the burnt offering. Christ wouldn't have come to die for sinners. What kind of sinner? Mary Magdalene, the thief on the cross. He wouldn't have come to die on that cross if it weren't so. He wouldn't have showed us all these things and keep showing us and keep showing it. He'd be done with us. And He wouldn't have told us such things as these. If you just bring the Son, I'll let you free. Go free. And He said, I'll deliver your brother and you'll sojourn in the land. For what? Just bring your brother. Kelly, He didn't tell him to climb Mount Sinai. Oh, listen to Psalm 103 in light of all of this. You may be reading it for the first time in light of this story. I did. This all is related to this story. Well, every gospel story, isn't it? They're all the same. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What benefits, David? Here it is. He forgiveth all thine iniquity. First and foremost, chief principle, the thing we need the most, He forgiveth. Heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction. These sons of Jacob would have died, wouldn't they? They'd have either killed themselves or somebody else would have killed them. Wouldn't it? And that would have been me. That'd be me. Oh, He redeems your life. Finally makes your life worth something. And crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Do you delight to give thanks for your children? I mean, do you? Does anything give you more pleasure? You don't need anything from them, Deborah. You don't want them. You don't need a thing. You're 60, pretty much. What can we get from here on? What do we need from here on? Nothing. So now we spend our lives giving, don't we? Giving, and nothing gives us more joy and pleasure. Nothing. How much more? If you being evil, there's not an evil bone in our Lord's body. It's all good. How much more? Read on. He loads us with benefits. He executes judgment, verse 6. Righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Who? Christ did this, the law. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. We need chiding, don't we? We need a lot of chiding. Chastening. And whom the Lord loveth, whom He loveth. Do you feel guilt? Do you feel shame? Do you feel... Are you brought low because you're sin? Good. Means He loves you. Oh, what's He doing to me? He's going to kill me. No. He loves you. That's why you're brought low like that.
If he weren't brought low, he wouldn't repent. If he didn't repent, he wouldn't show mercy. He won't always chide. He won't keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. He hath not. He never will. Never has, never will. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as... Well, I could keep reading, but I've got to... You know, go read it for yourself. This, the Lord said, my word is settled in heaven. Settled in heaven. You can believe me. You can trust me. No one has ever trusted me has been put to shame. Oh, my, 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 my. How merciful. Oh, how merciful. Blessed Lord, thou art to me. Isaiah 40 says this, we've received of the Lord's hand double for all our iniquity. Not only pardoned these sons of Jacob, not only were pardoned. They were not only pardoned. They were given great grace. They were given sacks full. We're going to see, if the Lord doesn't come, we're going to see the end of the story. They go home with wagon pulls. No more sacks, wagon loads. And yet, they say, why is God doing this to us? They all said that down in verse 35. Oh, my. They were all afraid. Saw every man his money in his sack. You know, look at, and I'll quit with this. Verse 36. Hadn't been too long. Anyway, verse 36, it says, Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Now he's blaming his sons. Joseph is not. This is your fault. Simeon is not. This is your fault. And you're going to take Benjamin away from me? This is all against me. It's all going against me. And it's your fault. Now, Jacob's just being Jacob again. He never has been too strong in the faith, has he? He's over 100 years old. When's a man going to learn not to quit blaming everybody and everything and start seeing the Lord did this? No, this wasn't even his fault. God did this. God's doing all this. He said, this is all against me. Everything's working against me, Joseph said. He's 100 years old. He's lived 100 years under the mercy and the grace of God. God came to him. Jacob, I love you. Not your brother. You. And he opened his heart and his mind and revealed his covenant to him. Jacob, I'm going to keep you all the days of your life. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to save you. And I'm going to bring you all the way home. I will perform this. I will, because I am God. I will not forsake thee or leave thee. No matter what, Jacob, you will forsake me, but I won't forsake you, because I am God. When's Jacob going to learn that? He hadn't learned it yet. He said, all this is against me. Jacob, the opposite is true. It's the opposite. Do you see how blind we are? Everything we think's against us, the Lord said, no. All things work together for good to them that live now. All things. This is against me. No, it's not. It's completely opposite. You know that verse in Psalm 50 where he said, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I'm not. We think he's like us and he's going to punish us. He's going to punish us. No, he's going to pardon us. He's not like us. He's not going to exact revenge. We just read that, didn't he? The Lord hath not dealt with us
according to our sins. He dealt with Christ. Do you understand that? Please understand that. Whenever your sins convict you, cry out for mercy and ask the Lord to pardon you for Christ's sake. And you know what? He will. He already has. He's already done it before you ask Him. He's ready to pardon. I told you that story about Isabella writing in my Bible years ago. She probably doesn't remember that. But she was upstairs, had my Bible open, and she was doing with a pen on Pawpaw's Bible. Oh, man. You know, these things, I prize this, don't you? They're very expensive. And, I saw her doing it. You know, I knew what I was going to do before I talked to her. I'd already pardoned her. I'd already pardoned her. I love her. I want to kick her out of the house. That's my child. But she's got to know she's guilty. She's got to know she's done something wrong. And she's got to be sorry. She defaced the Word of God. And I had her sitting in front of me like this. You don't remember this, do you? Hope the Lord puts you in front of Him one day like this. But I had her right in front of me. I said, Isabella. I said, look what you've done. Oh, she hung her head. She hung her head. And before she could get the words out, I'm sorry, her lip quivering, I said, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. Bob, I'll forgive you. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. And you know, I still have those marks. It's not this Bible. It's not this Bible. It's another one I have. But those marks are still. And you know what happens? Whenever I turn to that page and I see those marks, I smile. Our sins nailed Him to the cross. And He looks at those and smiles. See, the opposite is true. He's not exacting revenge. He's having mercy. He's not going to make us pay. He's going to pay it all. He's not going to take everything away because He hates us. He might take something away because He loves us. Keep us from hanging on. We've got to let go. We've got to let go. If there's anything or anyone we're hanging on to, it's idolatry, and that'll damn us. So the Lord's going to take it away in His good time. And their worries and their fears, verse 37 and 38, and I close. Reuben spake unto his father and said, slay me. Slay my sons if I don't bring him back to you and deliver him into your hand. I'll bring him to you again. Jacob said, no, my son shall not go down with you. His brother's dead? Oh, no, he's not. Oh, no, he's not. Oh, Jacob, you just don't know. You just don't know. Just wait. His brother's dead. He's left alone. Simeon's down there alone. You reckon Jacob was checking on Simeon? What? How much food? You know, it's prison. You reckon he's giving him something extra? If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then you'll bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Jacob, you're going to go down to the grave, not in sorrow, with a heart full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. No, it's not like you thought. Not at all like you thought. Because God's not like we think He is. He's much greater. He's much greater. And all this has befallen them for their good. For their good. And for Joseph, for God's glory. For God's glory. Okay, stand with me.